Hello, I am Adrian Justice, and today's segment of the Integrated Orchestra is about a musician of African descent from history. John Blank lived in the 1500s and was a regular musician at the courts of both Henry VII and Henry VIII. Historians have documented the arrival of Black people in Britain as members of the Roman army. The first reference to a Black African in Britain in the historical record is at a Roman military settlement in Carlisle in 210 AD. Other Africans traveled to or were brought to Britain at various times, although the continuous presence of Black people in Britain is traced to 1555, when Africans arrived in the company of a London merchant. At the courts of both Henry VII and Henry VIII, musicians' payment were noted in the accounts of the treasurer of the chamber, who is responsible for paying the wages. There are several payments recorded to a John Blank, the Black trumpeter. This trumpeter was paid 8 pence a day, first by Henry VII, and then from 1509 by Henry VIII. When a son was born to Henry VIII and his wife, Catherine of Aragon, on January 1, 1511, the royal family ordered a major celebration of a royal birth. The two-day tournament of Westminster, held later that year, provides an account of a Black musician who is assumed to be this same John Blank. A pictorially illuminated manuscript of the Tournament of Westminster on New Year's Day in 1511 was commissioned by Henry VIII to celebrate the birth of his son, who died as an infant, by his wife Catherine of Aragon. This manuscript illustration clearly portrays Blank as a Black trumpeter on horseback. He appears twice on the Westminster Roll manuscript depicting the tournament, once on the way from the court and again on the way back. According to the historian Sidney Anglo, he is almost certainly John Blank, the Black trumpeter, mentioned in the court treasurer's accounts. During the reign of Queen Elizabeth, it is known that there were several families of Jewish musicians hiding in plain sight, working in her court, despite the fact that being Jewish was otherwise punishable by death. Notoriously fickle, or at least indecisive, Queen Elizabeth I proclaimed the number of blackamoors, or people of African descent, excessive and ordered their expulsion in 1596. However, the Queen's own employment of a Black entertainer and a Black page are said to have undermined the deportation effort, and these efforts ultimately failed. You can find out more about John Blank and other musicians of color at www.blackpast.org.
Hello, I am Angela Bird with today's history feature, The Integrated Orchestra. Thomas Blind Tom Wiggins was a blind and autistic slave who lived from 1849 to 1908. He was one of the 19th century's most extraordinary performers. An autistic savant with an encyclopedic memory, all-consuming passion for the piano, and mind-boggling capacity to replicate, musically and vocally, any sound he heard, his name was a byword for eccentricity and oddball genius. Born into slavery, the owner of his family wanted him put to death as an infant, but his mother saved his life and then convinced James Bethune, a local lawyer and newspaper man, to buy them at auction instead of allowing the family to be sold as individuals. At only a few months old, Tom would imitate animal sounds. By the age of 4, still unable to express himself in speech, he could repeat long conversations verbatim after hearing them. Eventually, Bethune recognized the musical prodigy of the otherwise troublesome child, moved him to the big house, and began his musical training. By the age of 6, Tom was performing to sold-out houses, promoted with the words, "From the moment he first touched the piano, he seemed able to duplicate any piece of music after a single hearing." The reality was not that simple, but still startling. He was often able to duplicate a concerto in the span of one afternoon. Our understanding of autism today helps us better understand what audiences then found mystical and miraculous, that he could be inarticulate and unfocused and then transform at the piano into a focused, articulate master. Tom's extraordinary powers of imitation, music, and memory also earned him an invitation to the White House, where he performed before President James Buchanan. While the exquisite quality of the executive mansion's Chickering piano delighted him the most. One salient point eluded both him and the clique of Washington socialites before him. Blind Tom was the first African-American musician to officially perform in the White House. In the decades following the Civil War, Blind Tom became a household name, celebrated by luminaries like Mark Twain and the Midwestern novelist Willa Cather. He played virtuoso pieces to sell-out crowds across Europe and America. His tour schedule was relentless, but his fame became linked with the racism of the period. His disabilities used to reinforce prejudice against African Americans. The Bethune family and managers kept control of Wiggins and his huge income all his life, prompting Geneva Handy Southall, his biographer, to subtitle her account of him, "Continually Enslaved." A public battle for his emancipation gave him another title, "The Last American Slave." He died of a stroke in 1908 at the age of 60 and was buried in an unmarked grave at Brooklyn's Evergreen Cemetery. You can find out much more at blackpast.org and blindtom.org.
Hello, I am Diamond Holton with today's history feature of the Integrated Orchestra. Jose Mauricio Nunez Garcia was an Afro-Brazilian composer and organist who was the grandson of slaves. Over 240 works of music by Garcia have survived. Garcia's mother was Victoria Maria de Cruz, and his father was Apolinario Nunez Garcia, a tailor. Garcia was born in Rio de Janeiro on September 22, 1767. A biographer, Manuel de Arujo Porto Alegre, wrote that Garcia sang beautifully, wrote music, and played the harpsichord and guitar without lessons. The biographer adds that Garcia taught music from age 12 and was educated in the royal classes. Garcia wrote his earliest surviving work in 1783. He studied for the priesthood, where he collaborated with Lopez Ferreira, the chapel master. Garcia joined the Brotherhood of St. Cecilia as a music teacher in 1784. He wrote Litany for Our Lady and Four Voices in Organ. By 1788, he was composing anthems and a cappella works for church services and 2 years later gained fame with his funeral symphony. Garcia was ordained as a priest in March 1792. When the chapelmaster died in 1797, Garcia succeeded him. When the Portuguese royal family took refuge in Brazil in March 1808, clerics who accompanied them tried to remove Garcia from his position because of his race. Garcia was then told to concentrate on composition. In that year, Garcia composed the first Brazilian opera, The Two Twins, which was destroyed by fire in 1825. Monteiro Nito also tells us that in December 1819, Garcia conducted the first Brazilian performance of Mozart's Requiem. His last work was the St. Cecilia's Mass. Garcia died on April 18, 1830. Today, our sources include publications of the music of Garcia, Raul Abdul's Blacks in Classical Music, A Personal History, and www.blackpast.org.
Hello, I'm Tom Heyman. Today's segment of the Integrated Orchestra features one of today's best-known performers who has performed and recorded around the world in many genres. And he is one of our featured performers this month on WSCL 89.5. Wynton Marsalis was born in New Orleans, Louisiana, on October 18, 1961, to Ellis and Dolores Marsalis, the second of six sons. At an early age, he exhibited a superior aptitude for music. At age eight, Wynton performed traditional New Orleans music in the Fairview Baptist Church, and at 14, he performed with the New Orleans Philharmonic. During high school, Wynton performed with the New Orleans Symphony Brass Quintet, New Orleans Community Concert Band, New Orleans Youth Orchestra, New Orleans Symphony, various jazz bands, and the popular local funk band, The Creators. At age 17, Wynton became the youngest musician ever to be admitted to Tanglewood's Berkshire Music Center. Despite his youth, he was awarded the school's prestigious Harvey Shapiro Award for Outstanding Brass Student. Wynton moved to New York City to attend Juilliard School of Music in 1979, when he also began to pick up gigs around town. In 1980, Wynton seized the opportunity to join the Jazz Messengers to study under master drummer and bandleader Art Blakey. It was from Blakey that Wynton acquired his concept for band leading and for bringing intensity to each and every performance. In the years to follow, Winton performed with Sarah Vaughan, Dizzy Gillespie, Sweets Edison, Clark Terry, Sonny Rollins, Ron Carter, Herbie Hancock, Tony Williams, and countless other jazz legends. Winton's love of the music of Bach, Beethoven, Mozart, and others drove him to pursue a career in classical music as well. He recorded the Haydn, Hummel, and Leopold Mozart trumpet concertos at age 20. He assembled his own band in 1981 and hit the road, performing over 120 concerts every year for 15 consecutive years. With the power of his superior musicianship and an exhaustive series of performances and music workshops, Marsalis rekindled widespread interest in jazz throughout the world. His ability to excel in a variety of genres and his willingness to cross over the boundaries before crossover was a well-used term, along with his personal popularity, strong work ethic, and enthusiasm for teaching, has made him an international star. Winton Marsalis has won 9 Grammy Awards and has recorded more than 80 CDs. He holds honorary doctorates from over 30 universities. You can find out more about this extraordinary man and his music at his website, wyntonmarsalis.org.
Hello, I'm Cara Dahl Russell with today's feature of The Integrated Orchestra. PBS stations nationwide have aired a documentary about today's subject that tells the story of her life in music, A Harpist's Legacy, Ann Hobson Pilot and the Sound of Change. Ann Hobson was born on November 6, 1943, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She began studying the harp when she was 14. Though playing at a concert level by her senior year of high school, she encountered obstacles due to her race early on. The Maine Harp Colony initially rejected her application to study there during the summer because of her race. Following her graduation from Philadelphia Girls High, she was able to attend the Maine Harp Colony, where she met pioneering harp teacher Alice Chalifoux. After returning from Maine, Hobson studied at the Philadelphia Musical Academy. She later transferred to the Cleveland Institute of Music, where she could study again with Chalifoux. A graduate of the Cleveland Institute of Music, Pilot began her orchestral career as second principal harp with the Pittsburgh Symphony. Then in 1966, Hobson was selected to play as principal harpist in the National Symphony Orchestra, where she continued with the National Symphony for several seasons. Now she is most notably known for her 40-year career as principal harpist for the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Her international career as soloist spanned Europe, New Zealand, Haiti, and South Africa, where she recorded a video documentary, A Musical Journey, for WGBH and the Museum of Afro-American History, while performing in Namibia and with the National Symphony of Johannesburg. Her work is revered and includes performances at multiple high-profile music festivals, including Marlborough, Sarasota, and Tanglewood, and she has been on the faculty of both Boston University and the New England Conservatory of Music. She is also recognized as an outstanding music historian and has won numerous prestigious awards, including the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Boston Musicians Association in 2010. In 2009, at her official retirement, she joined the BSO opening and Carnegie Hall season with the premiere of a concerto that was written for her on Willow and Birches by acclaimed film composer John Williams. You can find out more about Ann Hobson Pilot and her recordings at her website, annhobsonpilot.com.